Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon. I got Kyle with me, and we have returning to the show a very special guest, Liz Komai. Welcome back, Liz.
Hey, thanks for having me again. Yeah. So excited to be so free.
Free? What does that mean?
So we had some budget cuts. I work in the academic realm. I was at Emerson College in Hollywood, and we had some budget cuts. And I got laid off on Friday. So I was kind of considering that might be happening. And I thought I might be one of the folks because we have such a tiny, tiny team. Mm-hmm. So in my head, I was like, it could really be any of us. Mm-hmm. I don't see any of our team being indispensable in that way, but it is what it is. And so it was a little bit shocking because I didn't know when it was coming. Mm-hmm. And also because I've been teaching a pre-orientation class for incoming freshmen, and my last class was Tuesday.
Oh, shoot.
And I was like, so what happens to my kids? And the HR person said, oh, I thought your last class was yesterday. And I said, yeah. So I'm missing a goodbye. I'm basically ghosting my class.
Wow.
I don't know what they'll say, unforeseen circumstances or something, because that's not great for morale
right.
or incoming freshmen.
Right.
So that actually made me the saddest
yeah.
of everything. And then in a weird way, I was kind of thankful because knowing that layoffs were coming, I'd been talking to God about it. And I said, this is after Laura came to speak mm-hmm. and she was sharing about, you know, where God places people. And I said, okay, God, if you have placed me here and you need me to pay more attention to what you are trying to accomplish, I don't think I've been very good at it this past year. I was there for a year. And I will make more intentional effort to listen and to pay attention mm-hmm. to what you're doing. And if you're releasing me from this role, then I look forward to wherever you're going to place me next. Mm-hmm. So I have peace in some ways, but I was just telling Damon that the pragmatic side of me has these little pockets of freaking out.
Yeah.
Like, this is all the money I have in my bank account, and nothing else is going to come in anytime immediately. So, but yeah, God's been pretty faithful in my life in really high ups and downs, mm-hmm. highs and lows of financial providence and other things. So I know he will be faithful, so it's just kind of like strap in, you know, kind of a thing.
Seems like a good tie-in with the sermon that we had. Your mind, your will, and your emotions are probably all like getting pushed and pulled all over the place.
Definitely.
So we're really excited to have you back, Liz, and kind of like Kyle was saying, I think this is a good segue into talking about what our sermon series is on, which is Walking in the Spirit. And I think sometimes for us, it's really when unexpected or difficult times happen that we really need to lean into how we respond to those circumstances, right? And that's part of what walking in the Spirit is allowing the Spirit to lead when we're going through difficult times and not just relying on our wounded soul or over-controlling soul, but really submitting it to the Lord and walking in the Spirit. And so that's really what our series is all about, is how do we walk the way that we were intended to walk from mm-hmm. creation? And I think this sermon was kind of, I guess, mind-blowing in the way that Pastor Barry was able to articulate some very like deep, profound truths, but in a very simple way. And some of the diagrams were pretty awesome. Kyle kept telling me, those diagrams are awesome.
And you created them? Or he did?
Okay, he created them and I adapted them. But
so, yeah, but you put them, like he drew them out and then you put them into digital form? Or cause I was wondering, I'm like, how far did he go in creating those digitally?
He did most of the work. Okay. And I just cleaned it up a little bit. But yeah, he did a good job. When I saw them, I was like, oh, this is a really good way.
Yeah.
And it's cool to see how he's been processing, because he's mm-hmm. been walking with us as the staff a little bit mm-hmm. on how he was going to present things. And so we've been able to kind of have a good discussion on everything. Mm-hmm. And so when he presented it, I was like, whoa, like he's come a long way in how he's discerned how to share this with people. Mm-hmm. And I was really like, yeah, this was really good.
Yeah, I see, Liz, you're nodding your head. So like, what was your impression? Well, this last week, but just the 2 weeks so far that we've been in this series.
So I have been exposed to some of this, mm-hmm. in different ways, like PMT, mm-hmm. touches upon it. And then some of the classes that my mom, Catherine, teaches,
yeah.
you know, goes through these different components. And I am a visual person. Mm. I like to tell people I'm a geometry brain person. So shapes and colors, mm-hmm. make my brain really happy, and algebra stresses me out. So I appreciate the digital, the visuals. And I also, as a teacher, I'm excited to have information presented where more people can process it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, oh, this is going to be really great for some people that absorb information in this way. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I enjoy that.
Yeah, I had my kids watch the first one because I wasn't in service, and so I heard about it, so I watched it, and then I'm like, oh, I want my kids to watch this. So we watched it together, and it was good. Actually, we went through the whole thing without, is it done yet? Is it, you know? So that they were actually engaged, and I think the visuals he had for the first episode were good. And now watching this, I'm like, oh, I want them to watch this one because this one adds so much more depth to it. But yeah, maybe we could jump in a little bit to just talk about the deeper parts of the soul that he talked about.
Yeah, so part of the reason that we're going through this series is it's setting the foundation for the mm-hmm. retreat, because we do have the retreat coming up in a few weeks. And as a lead up, Pastor Barry didn't want Pastor Sam to have to build his mm-hmm. series at the retreat from scratch. So he wanted to give a little bit of foundation, but it's been really cool to see how Pastor Barry has, yeah, built that up and shared, you know, what he says is 50 years of his walking with mm-hmm. the Lord into a 3-week series. Mm-hmm. But so as we dive in deeper, one of the things that he was talking about specifically this week, in this week's sermon, is the impact of our soul on our decision-making and our mm-hmm. will, right? And so a lot of us, because of sin and the ways that sin has impacted us in our world, have not lived from a healthy soul, mm-hmm. right? So for many of us, like I said, through the corruption of sin, have either a really wounded soul. Actually, I think both outcomes come from a wounded soul, but it's what are we more normally operating from, mm-hmm. whether it's in a wounded soul, mm-hmm. which leads to kind of under-functioning mm-hmm. and kind of passivity and things like that. That's kind of the direction that Pastor Barry went. Or do we operate from over-controlling, right? It's over-functioning, so we want to control every situation because we don't trust other people, mm-hmm. and those hurts have made it so that we only trust ourselves.
Right.
And so I totally could feel like mm-hmm. in different areas, I was like, oh, I think in different areas, I'm operating from one or the other. Mm-hmm. And so it felt very familiar as he was sharing some of these things. How about for you guys?
So I thought that I would be coming from more of a wounded soul place. Mm-hmm. And I guess I've had some healing. And also mm-hmm. just with age and time, I have shifted. There are a lot of things that weren't specifically addressed on his diagram mm-hmm. for that part.
Right.
But most of the things that I resonated with were in the control area. Mm. So that was interesting to me. And I was like, oh, yes, for sure what Damon was saying, the control comes from a place of being wounded mm-hmm. and wanting to protect myself. Mm-hmm. And all of mine were kind of in the emotions sector, mm-hmm. mm-hmm. which is true to my character. I am more of a feeling, kind of an emotion focused mm-hmm. person.
And that's one reason that we wanted to have you on, because Kyle and I, sometimes we tend to be more on the suppressive emotion side.
We're thinkers more than.
Okay, that's the nice way to think.
Yeah, come on, Damon.
All right, sorry. Keep going, Liz.
Yeah, so that was interesting to me, just as a little insight. I mean, I do think about these things pretty often, so I was like, okay, so now I have to kind of address the control part, which is coming. It's not bad to have controls or disciplines, mm-hmm. but when it's coming from a place of damage and mm-hmm. is not aligned with God's spirit for me and his heart for me, then that's when I need to look at it more closely and try to figure out what I need to do to be intentional and redirect that part of, because that's kind of your built-in response to how you approach things, you know, at a default level. So I have to rewire that or reprogram myself.
Yeah, I think that's where this gets challenging, is it is kind of the wiring, right? So some of it is, that's just the way we're designed and the way we're built. But when that part exerts itself where it becomes the lead instead of the follower, you know, of your spirit, that's where it's out of whack. And that's where I think a lot of us end up operating from. So for me too, it's like, okay, I've went through a season of almost discounting or discrediting my wiring of like, oh, I think too much, so that's mm-hmm. a bad thing. But then it's like, oh no, that's actually the way I'm designed and wired, but I don't always operate in a healthy way from that. So then I've had to learn that part, but now it's also, okay, operate from it, but do it in a way that's still submitted. And that's the part that gets to be super challenging.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons why the identity thing for us as a church took so long, right? Mm-hmm. Is because there's a certain way that we've been operating for years and years and years and years. And then as this new identity, being a new creation, having, you know, our spirits being reborn, it's a totally different way of living, a totally different way of interacting with the world. And there needs to be some type of rewiring so that we're interacting with the world from this new creation place versus the way that we lived in the flesh for so long before. And so, yeah, I really feel like some of the things that he's been talking about, really, it is part of this living out of a renewed mind, because we sometimes just get caught in these, that's just the way I am, that's how I've always done things, but that's not necessarily what the Lord has for us, especially in living out what it looks like to be a healed soul, a new creation, and things like that.
I think the hard part with that is, especially if you get positive results from it, right? Because then it's like you're getting reinforced by like, well, I'm getting what I want, or I'm getting what I think I want or need, and maybe even other people are getting what they want, right? And it's like, oh, but is that really the correct way to approach it? And so that can be challenging.
I think also in what I see in culture is be yourself. You know, I see more people encouraging people to, like, giving them permission, like, be yourself, and we love that about you, for you, and there are people that will respond to that in a positive way. So it's a very positive thing, and I think that's good to offset some of the very judgmental, like, don't do so many things philosophy. But if you don't know who yourself is, you know, you're trying to figure that out, and especially if it's not aligned with who God created you to be, then that's when everything starts to, you know, get a little bit confusing, or I think this is myself, but it's not the healed whole version.
Right.
And so I also hear a lot of people who address the idea that I need to work on some things. I have recognized, given different conflicts and issues I've had with my relationships, that I need to work on some things. I need to take some time to myself, adults. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's helpful. It's a little bit of a different way of looking at things. But again, if it's not aligned with who God created you to be, then you're still not quite there. So the first question I try to ask myself is, do you want to be healed? Mm-hmm. Just yes or no. Whatever it means, you don't have to think about that part yet, because it's challenging. Mm-hmm. But do you want to be healed, yes or no? Or do you want to stay broken? Mm-hmm. I guess is the other flip side mm-hmm. to that. And in general also, then, what are your objectives? I'm going to try to pursue that And I might need a break sometimes because it can be a lot, but that is my objective. I do want to be healed and whole.
I think there's one step before that is, do you recognize that you're broken?
Right.
Because I think there's some people that just, no, I'm good. I'm good because they've suppressed things or they've buried it. Like, no, I'm good. Life's good. And then it's like, oh, shoot. Once they get to the realization that there's actually stuff below, it's like, oh, no, I am broken. Then you have the choice. Well, do you want to stay where you're at or do you want to deal with it?
It's kind of like getting your eyes checked. You can go for a really long time with compromised vision and still be highly functional.
Right.
And then when you get that correct prescription and you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah, you've talked about that on the podcast before. It's like, oh,
I had that exact experience earlier. It's like, yeah. I feel like it's deja vu right now. It's like, oh, I didn't know that my eyes were, I mean, they're not bad, right. But just once I put on the new glasses, which unfortunately I lost, but once I put on the new glasses, like, whoa, everything's way sharper now. It's way different. So yeah, I didn't recognize how, yeah, my eyes have shifted. Until the corrected lenses came on and was like, whoa, this is way better.
Okay, so I got something to get your guys' feedback on. So on one of the diagrams that Pastor Barry showed on Sunday that stood out to me was the top part with the Spirit, where he talked about we all, once you accept Jesus, you have a connection with the Spirit. So there was a thin green line. And then he had green arrows pointing out and really, really thin green. I'm like, what is that? And then as he's explaining it, I'm like, oh, okay. I like the way we all have a connection that starts, but then it's for us to develop that and expand that where we have that deeper connection. We hear God's voice more confidently, more regularly, more deeply. But that takes effort and that takes us developing that. And then as that expands, then that affects our soul. So what did you guys think about that aspect of the diagram?
I really liked that. I thought that was really cool because you've been given a promise that you just have to ask and you'll receive that connection, that partnership with the Spirit and with the kingdom. And if that's the case, then why are we all in such different places? And why are so many people still struggling, including myself, with being connected? And then, of course, if you look at the calendar, it's 2025. So that's over 2,000 years since Jesus was here. And we still all kind of suck collectively as a group of Christ followers. And, you know, for what we're supposed to be doing and what we were meant to be doing. I mean, no shade on anybody, but just generally, like, we haven't come that far. So whatever God is able to accomplish with our very limited cooperation is always like a huge blessing to me. So I'm like, wow, that's even more amazing because I know how many holdbacks we have.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, God can do a lot with a little.
Right.
But we can receive so much more if we pour into developing that too. But he's still gracious and we still get a lot, but yeah, to me that it stood out to me like, oh yeah, that's where partly my will too, of like, I need to pour into that and make that a priority, because if I do, that affects everything going downward, right, in the model. I'm like, oh wow, that it just stood out to me.
Yeah, I think it reminds me of just being a spiritual infant, right? And the role, like, an infant will grow, right? And so what's the progression of the infant growing, right? But then, you know, in the New Testament, people are called out for continuing to be infants when they're supposed to be mature,
right?
And so I think for me, when I saw that, it's like, oh, do I want to stay an infant comfortable with just drinking the milk? Or do I want to grow into the mature person that the Lord has for me? And so it's cool because, I mean, how many infants do you see staying infants forever, right? They don't, right? It's the natural progression of their life is that they grow, they eat. But then, so for me, it's like, okay, if I just continue to walk out in alignment with the Spirit, then I'm going to grow. Mm. And it's more am I doing things that are suppressing myself and stopping myself from growing versus, you know, not growing, you know, that way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also think about what is the disconnect where there have been so many believers for so long and so many of us are still so uncomfortable engaging with Holy Spirit. Mm. And I know there's different thoughts and, you know, ways of looking at gifting and things like that. But if that is the number one connection, then why do we still struggle? It's great to have maybe the good moral, ethical values and the community values. But if you don't have the Spirit, then you're just kind of in a club, like a culture, which is generally positive. Mm-hmm. But that's like the most important part. And so I've been a little bit more exposed to it with my family and my parents, but when other people are, you know, just like struggling, it makes me feel like we're not doing as much as we could be doing to kind of provide that mm-hmm. early. So I love that in Catalyst, they're really making an intentional effort to build in those opportunities to the kids mm-hmm. so that they have those experiences, mm-hmm. you know, like, what do you think God's saying, mm-hmm. you know, and what do you want to talk about it or draw something or share something?
Yeah, I think part of that is recognizing that there is a spiritual battle going on and one of the things that the enemy will try to do is try to discredit or try to get us to not think about our relationship with the Holy Spirit, but really focus us on religion or doing the right things or values or morals, which are all important, but really it's coming out of that relationship with the Spirit and where it's flowing out of us through that, as opposed to flowing out through obligation or things like that, right? And so I do want to point out that we are in a spiritual battle, and that's one of the things that I feel like has been highlighted to me recently. It's just there's so much more going on than what we can see with our natural eyes, and we need to be aware of that because it's not like we're just living this out in a neutral setting. It's like there is an enemy that's trying to hold us back, trying to make it so it's difficult to hear the Holy Spirit, make it so it's difficult for us to walk in alignment with the Lord. Because he doesn't want to see believers, because he knows how powerful the Lord is. He doesn't want to see believers walking out their true identity in alignment with the Holy Spirit.
I think what you're pointing out too just highlights for a lot of us, the soul has been in the lead for so long.
Right.
And so then it gets uncomfortable to engage with the Spirit because it goes against our feelings, our thoughts, and all that stuff. So I don't know. I want to hear your thoughts, Damon, on the over-functioning or over and under-functioning, because I know that word for you, it brought more clarity. But just that concept in general of when our soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions, are functioning out of alignment or out of where they're supposed to be in the normal range, then how that affects our interactions with the Holy Spirit.
That's a loaded question that we could... Oh, wait, I feel like I did talk about this in my class that we just ended. Yeah, so in our kingdom class, we actually kind of did go over and a little bit deeper on this in our identity exchange boot camp. But we talked about it in the terms of, you know, before we became Christians, our soul was in the lead of our life, right? And so because of that, our soul was exposed to all of the things that it wasn't necessarily supposed to be exposed to are when we were created.
Or even in charge of things it wasn't supposed yes. to be in charge of.
So when we were created, right, and God told Adam and Eve not to eat from the fruit, he said, if you eat from it, you'll die, right? And so it's like, okay, well, is God a liar? Because they didn't die, right? They physically were still alive, but there was something in them that died, right? And so that part was their spirit, right? Their spirit. And so that's what also needs to be born again, right? And so because of that, their soul was taking the lead for forever. And so when there were difficult things, when there's spiritual battles, it was all being impacting their soul, right? And so which is how we got to this place where we are wounded, we're walking around with wounded souls. And so the overfunctioning or underfunctioning is our natural, or I wouldn't even say natural. It's kind of like a defense mechanism for a lot of us to live out what it looks like to have a wounded soul, right? So some of us, it's kind of like that fight or flee, right? Fight or flight, right? And so there's some people that they choose to deal with their woundings from a fight position, right? It's like, I got to control. I got to make sure that everything, I'm in charge. I'm the boss. And but there's some people where their response to that woundedness is, I'm going to just run away from everything. I'm going to get out of this place. And so can become passive or just, you know, allowing other people to be in control. Because then it's not on them. It's not their responsibility, right? But neither one of those places is where the Lord had intended for us to be when he created us, right? And so then it gets also into, right, our soul is made up of our mind, our will, and our emotions, right? And so that's where I was like, man, this, there's some areas where it's like, okay, I think for myself, it's like, okay, I can tend to lean into the over-functioning mind and the under-functioning emotions, right? And so it's like, okay, it's not just my soul is over-functioning or under-functioning. It's like certain areas of my soul are over-functioning and so certain areas are under-functioning. And so it's just interesting as he was going through that. But one of the things that I felt like was really a key as we've been walking with Pastor Barry on how he was putting words to his thoughts was originally one of the, okay, so this is a little insider baseball. So originally one of the terms that he was using was overdeveloped or underdeveloped. And there were some areas where we were like, that doesn't necessarily feel right, like the right language for that, right? Because it's like, isn't it good to develop our mind and isn't it good to develop our emotions? Those are good things, right? Like Mimo's been having this class about being emotionally healthy and a lot of us have underdeveloped emotions and we need to develop them more. So isn't that a good thing for us to intentionally develop those things? And so when he, as he was discerning and developing this and trying to put language to it, when he came up with the overfunctioning, is like, oh, that, just that little shift in the terminology changes a lot. And I really felt like, oh, this is the right way to go.
Yeah. Like I said, mine are all in the emotion box, my over-functioning. But, you know, I kind of struggled with that aspect because when I get really frustrated and I'm angry, but it's because I'm frustrated because I want so badly to understand correctly and to be understood, I cry and it's so annoying because nobody wants to cry when you're in a fight. You know, like that's not what I want to present. And I don't want to necessarily reveal that, or I want to be able to do it in a more calm manner so it doesn't get read as drama. But yeah, and then I have so many of the passive things from before where I try not to be in the front. And I had to really think about that this year because people will say, oh yeah, you're so, you know, we love that you do this and you're so good at this. And then I'm looking at job resumes and things and I'm like, I don't want to do any of these things because it's too leadership driven. Like you would have to be in the front line of it and I don't want to put myself there. But there have been times upon reflection where I did enjoy it a lot. One of them was parenting, not because it was always easy, but it was really important. And I felt like that was something that I felt really passionate about. Another one was teaching. I really enjoy helping people learn things in a way that makes sense to them. And that was in the academic realm and also in a ministry realm. You know, things that I've experienced, if I could help them get a little further. So I'm like, no, I do like to lead in these particular ways. I'm not going to, I don't aspire to be like the president or the, you know, like, I don't want to be that much in charge because just the politics and a lot of things that I associate, you know. It's a heavy responsibility, but I'm trying to open myself to that and say, okay, God, but I'm saying no way in advance. Mm-hmm. And so I need to kind of wait on that before I say no. Even with the job thing, like my previous boss was talking me up to some folks at a networking event. He's like, oh yeah, Liz has these great qualifications. And I'm like, oh, well, actually not that one anymore because that one expired. And he's like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Like not in front of the other person, but he's like, they don't need to know that part, you know, and you could always get it again, like if you needed it for your role. So, you know, don't shoot yourself in the foot. And I was like, oh yeah, I do that a lot. Mm-hmm. And you know, maybe I'm being humble and it's a self-esteem issue also, but I need to focus more on what the Spirit is saying, what God is saying. I'm putting you in these conversations for a reason, even if it's just to give me practice, because I have things for you to do, but I need you to be willing to say yes and not continue to throw up like, oh no, I'm actually not that great.
Mm-hmm. No, that's good. I mean, that's the journey, is like self-awareness and then dealing with that when you become aware of it. So yeah, I think that's a very common aspect for all of us. I think what helps with that awareness for me, what I saw on Sunday was that sheet he passed out at the end. And I saw a lot of head nodding. I saw a lot of people going, oh, I think I get it better now. And I was just looking up on the, I pulled up the live stream on, or the YouTube on my phone. I'm looking at the diagram at the end. And I'm like, oh, wow, that there was, I don't, I think I had a, oh, you have it here. Oh, I didn't think you had it there.
I have a printed copy. Actually, I think I have two, and Kyle's
Give
looking
me
on
one
his
of those.
Phone.
I don't want to ask you in the middle of the thing. Yeah, but like the over-functioning, under-functioning part, it's like, oh, my mind, I definitely battled over-functioning. Under-functioning, not very much. Emotions, there's parts of both. And then what I saw is I'm definitely getting healthier emotionally. So a lot of those are even becoming past things. They're not as much current. So I'm like, oh, that's good. I'm actually growing. But then I get to the will and I'm like, oh, I think that's the one where I think it felt like the will was there, but it was really from my mind or other things. But I'll share just a quick story of where I had an over-functioning will just by the way I grew up. And so the church I grew up in was more structured, I would say religious in some aspects, right? So you had those spiritual disciplines of reading and doing things, but it came from more of like obligation, duty. And once I got to a place where like, oh, that's not healthy. Like, so I went from that and I'm like, oh, that's bad. But I threw it all out instead and then went to like, oh, my will, I had no will because it was just out of obligation and duty. So then it was like, oh, I'm an under-functioning will now because I don't have that structure anymore. And I've had to now kind of grow it back, and it's been hard. And I'm like, oh, I wish I would have had more guidance to be like, it's not all bad, but there's aspects, it depends on how and why you're doing it, but don't throw the baby out with the bathwater type of thing. And I did that, and now I'm like, oh, I regret. I wish I would have done it differently because my will would have not gotten so flabby. But it's an interesting journey to look at. And then seeing the things on the will, I'm like, oh, yeah, there's definitely parts of both underperforming and over-functioning that I struggle with.
Yeah, I think that's another one of the tools of the enemy, is that he tries to make everything like black or white. Mm. So which leads us to the extremes, right? So it's like we're either over-functioning or under-functioning. And so we don't even know a lot of times what it looks like to function in a healthy zone because we're always being pulled in both directions, right? And so I think that's one of the keys that the Lord's been highlighting, you know, through bringing Pastor Dean and through some of these other things, is that there is a healthy place that the Lord wants to take us to. Are we willing to do the things that we need to do or put the work in to get to that place of being healthy? Or are we just going to continue to feel like, oh, no, this is just who I am. I'm going to continue to walk this certain way. But what if that's not the way that the Lord has for you? Are we actually getting in the way of what the Lord wants to do in us or through us because we're just settled on this is just how I am? But really, what if that's not who the Lord intended for you to be?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to think about, because I would say everybody who's in, say, a relationship, and then you learn how to function in a very specific type of way. Mm. And then when that relationship ends, or let's say you lose somebody that's close to you in your family or your friend, and then you have to reevaluate what you look like without this influence and this person or whatever it is. It could be a job. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, well, I guess I do have other options. I don't live in this one lane. Mm. And what now does it look like? Which direction should I go? So I think just reminding myself of the frog in the pot, you know, if you turn the water up slowly, then it just sits there forever until it gets boiled. Or, you know, me too, because I have glasses. Mm-hmm. And what it looks like to be able to see clearly. So it's just every day, again, reminding myself, do you want to be healed? Yes or no? Mm-hmm. Do you still want to be healed? Yes or no today? When they had the healing service, I was going to go, but I had another activity, and I was really, I'm like, is this the spirit telling me, like, I'm trying to tell you to be there? And I didn't end up going, and I regret it because I don't know what could have happened. I heard some amazing things come out of that, and that's really awesome. And there will be other opportunities, but I feel like he was trying to get me there. And I was like, I should go, but you know, and I didn't. So there's a lot of times like that, where for whatever reason, I really liked that Pastor Barry shared the verse about just reminding you that your soul works in direct opposition to your spirit always. So that was a really specific reminder, because you kind of vaguely are aware of that concept, but it's like, no, everything your soul wants to do that you don't think is necessarily a bad thing is still in direct opposition to the spirit if it's not being led by the spirit. And then the other thing he said I really liked was that God is always happy with the spirit connection, like who you are in your spirit. That's who your real self is. And God is always pleased 100% with that aspect of you. So if you are cut off, or if that is withered or shrunken or debilitated, then the struggle is all like at the other end. So that was a really good way for me to kind of reflect.
So we're back to pointing at each other.
You pointed first, but I rebounded to you, so that cancels your initial point. So back at you.
I mean, I feel like there's just so many different directions to go. I think for me personally, one of the things in my personal struggle with the soul is I think sometimes I feel like there's too much responsibility on my behalf in each decision that I make. So it's like, okay, this is all on me. This is all on me. I need to make the right decision. And so, you know, that's an area of my overfunctioning mind as well, where it's not like I'm directly going to the Lord a lot of times. But then the other difficult part is when I do go to the Lord and it's not necessarily clear which direction to go. And then it's like, okay, I want to follow the Lord. I want to submit myself to the direction that he wants me to go, but it's not necessarily clear what that direction is. So then it feels like, okay, am I hearing right? Am I hearing wrong? Is this, what should I do? And so a lot of times for me personally, I feel like there, because of the overfunctioning of my mind and the feeling of responsibility, it actually leads to paralysis a lot of times, where it's a way of actually overfunctioning, but then it's also leads to underfunctioning, because then it becomes passive, or it's like, okay, I'll just, in my mind, I'll justify it. It's like, okay, I'm just waiting on the Lord. But really, I feel like one of the things that he's been saying is like, that's kind of a cop-out. That's my cop-out is, oh, I'm just waiting on the Lord, when really it's more just my indecision or my not wanting to take responsibility for a decision that I'm going to make. So I'll just kind of pass the buck or just wait it out. And, oh, well, that decision passed, or I can't make that decision anymore. So it's okay. It wasn't in the Lord's timing or something. But what I think he's been trying to encourage me in, the one, that I'm hearing him, but then two, like, okay, you have to make a decision now. You can't just pass this off and wait. You have to kind of make a decision. So I think that's an area for me where, yes, I do tend to be an internal processor, so I think things through quite a bit, and then sometimes I just overfunction and it's overthinking it and then leading to that passivity. So it's like a overfunctioning and underfunctioning all at the same time.
That's a really good point, Damon. And I think it highlights that our journey in healing our soul is not meant to be solo. Like, we need to be able to bounce ideas off people. We need to be able to get different perspectives. We need to be able to allow other people to speak into us and even challenge, you know, our systems, our beliefs, to the extent of especially where our soul is, not necessarily our belief system in God, but I mean, you need to have that challenged by non-believers too, so you can see where you're at on that. But I think we need to be able to be vulnerable and realize that not everything we do is healthy and good. I think, like Damon, you and I, we have conversations here and there about different things where we have either different perspectives or one of us will have like a missing piece where I've seen that for myself, I know, and I think I've seen it from your side as well, where, oh yeah, I didn't see that part of it, or I didn't see that. And so those things bring a lot more fullness. And so we need people in our lives that we can have these kind of conversations with and go deeper and get feelers in our lives, right? Like, they have a different sense, like pointing at Liz, and my wife's a feeler. And so she brings a different perspective, and then I bring a different perspective to her. So just encouragement to all the people listening, people at Catalyst, like, to make sure you're in situations where you can talk about this kind of stuff. It's not just, hey, the Dodgers win yesterday, and oh, okay, yeah, that's great, I had a conversation with somebody at church, but hey, what do you think of the message? Like, how is your soul doing? How is your mind? How is your what's your weakest area?
Right.
And then be like, oh shoot, do I go there? Do I want to share that?
Yeah. So as you're talking, it just reminds me too. So for me, actually, I always test out as feeler. But I think sometimes, so Liz, when you were talking earlier about getting in arguments and crying, it's like, okay, I know that experience. I know that sense that it's coming. So it's like, okay, I know that there's times where I shy away from conflict because I know it's just going to be like, okay, I'm just going to end up crying, and that's not going to be that's not going to be a good thing. But I do feel like, for myself, that's an area where the being afraid of the heightened sense of some of those feelings has led to the overfunctioning of my mind. Mm-hmm. So it's mm-hmm. trying to develop mm-hmm. that side to mm-hmm. avoid the intensity of the other side. Mm-hmm. And so I know for me that that's an area that the Lord has been kind of highlighting, and I think I've shared on the podcast before, like Pastor Sam gave me this book, or recommended this book, called The Garden Within by Dr. Anita Phillips. And it talks about how, you know, our emotions are not the enemy, that they're an important part of who we are. And so it's not to discount them or discredit them or to fight them, but it's to look at how the Lord had originally intended for them to interact with in our lives. Mm-hmm. And I know that part, because I've been afraid of the intensity of some of the feelings, has led to ways that I've been compensating for that by overfunctioning of the mind. And so that's been a journey for me as well, trying to live out, like, okay, I know that the Lord created me as a feeler, but a lot of the areas that I'm living out is actually more of a thinker. And so how do I actually live this out the way that the Lord intends for the feelings to live in alignment with who he is and how he intended them to be in my life, as well as, you know, using my mind and submitting that to the Lord as well. So I think that's been a part of the journey too, is just recognizing, like, okay, I was created as a feeler, but I actually live out life a lot of times as a thinker. Mm-hmm. So there is a disconnect there somewhere. What's the root of that? What's the cause of that? And I think that's part of the journey that I'm on right now, is that the Lord has been just taking me back and trying to identify some of those areas that have led to me functioning in this way, versus functioning out of how he originally intended me to live.
That's good.
Yeah, I think what came to my mind as you were sharing, Damon, is when I get to those places of intense emotion, and the time where I would like to avoid it is in conflict. So it's usually some sort of heated conversation, and that's when I get to the point where I'm so frustrated that I cry, and I don't want to cry. I don't mind crying, personally. And I do most of it, like, more to myself or in service every Sunday at some point. But it's really frustrating because I'm, like, trying to have a conversation, and I don't want it to be derailed by me crying and the other person responding in not the way I want them to respond. I'm not trying to be distracting with my crying or anything like that. And I think if emotions are interpreted by the audience or the person you're trying to communicate with as some sort of negative thing, or it's going in a direction you don't want it to go in, that's when I don't want it to show as much. So I just was thinking that I have to figure out a way how to practice when I get to those points to just take a minute, and instead of continue to try to talk through it, you know, because I'm trying to get my point across and I'm feeling like I'm not being understood or something, or they don't understand that I understand them, is a weird issue that I have. Mm-hmm. That I need to take a minute and ask God what he wants me to do, where he wants me to go with whatever I'm feeling, because maybe I'm not presenting it in the way that the person can receive, and then I'm just wasting, I'm like burning up energy, ratcheting up this frustration, mm-hmm. you know, trying to do that. So I'm going to have to figure out what that looks like now.
Well, I think that's a good, segue, but it makes me think of like prayer sessions and going to what are the roots. So if when somebody's not hearing you well and then you get emotional, it's like, oh, is there a wound about you weren't understood or heard, or you felt like you weren't. And so then whenever that appears and that kind of, you get that sense of it, it's like you get the emotions rise up and it's not really appropriate for that situation. And so it's coming from a different place.
Right.
But I think that's what I'm excited for us going through this. It's like we're being made aware of this content in a deeper way, in a more impactful way. But then it's like, okay, I'm going to see a lot of fruit from it, because people are now going to be like, oh, I don't want to live like this. I want to get my soul in that green area, in the healthy range. But that means I'm going to have to figure out, why am I responding with control, or why am I responding with passivity or giving up? And yeah, I think sometimes the Lord can reveal that to us, but a lot of times it takes an outside voice, like a prayer team or something like that, to help lead you in those areas.
Yeah.
Amen. All right, so as we're starting to wrap up this episode, Liz, are there any other things that you wanted to talk about in regarding this past Sunday sermon?
I guess somewhere during this conversation, I got this picture, you know, that we're individually like a blanket or a tapestry, and then over time, stuff gets piled on it or attached to it, or soils or whatever, and they still function, but it's not how you were designed. And so the picture I got was just like two hands grabbing the sides and like flapping it out to just remove debris, and then a deeper cleaning, you know. And then for some people, so much stuff gets piled on it that, you know, you can't even see it anymore. And it just kind of exists that way, which is kind of how my room looks right now, because I still haven't finished figuring out my stuff after we moved. And then I just had to move all the stuff from my office also back into my house. So it's a whole different situation. But it's like, what would this look like if it were clear?
Yeah, I think that's a good picture too, because I think there are certain times where it might feel like we can do this on our own, but then when there's so much stuff piled on it, that's when we need help from other people to help remove some of the debris, remove some of the other articles that are on top of it. And so there are times where we're going to need help from other people too, right? So it's just recognizing too which season you're in and which circumstances or which things we're able to do on our own and which certain things we really need help with too.
Clutter is an enemy of connection, the Lord. But I think that, yeah, like some boxes are light and you can do it by yourself. Sometimes you got to call somebody else. Hey, I got to move this table. Because if you try and do it by yourself, you're going to pull your muscles and right. hurt yourself. And that's just, I think that applies for us spiritually as we clean up our stuff. Sometimes we can do stuff and God supernaturally can do stuff that seems too heavy, but a lot of times we need to ask for help.
I'm kind of chuckling a little bit because as Kyle was talking about clutter gets in the way of our connection with the Lord, I'm just hearing Mimo saying, yes, Kyle, keep going. Tell them that they need a digital detox.
Oh, yeah, maybe that's where that's coming from. I'm thinking of that. I think for me, it's bringing awareness, too, that we need to value all three aspects of our soul. Mm. I think growing up a thinker and seeing that that's my strength, at some point, I remember even being like, yeah, emotions are stupid. Mm-hmm. they're too subjective. They're too whimsical. Just seeing how people can be led by it. And I'm like, yeah. I don't want to live like that. But then as I've come to understand my emotions better and operate in it better, has given me a different perspective. Seeing my wife journey from being, she's super high emotions, but seeing how she's matured and how she handles hers, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, that, I like that aspect, but it's given me a different appreciation for emotions. It's still foreign in a lot of ways, and I'm like, okay, I don't know if I really like it, but I have a better value. And then for the will, sometimes I felt like I said, I grew up with that will is, that's sometimes that's bad. That's like churchy religiosity, and I'm like, no, I have to see that there's a positive side of will that I need to embrace too. So, this series has been, it's good. I'm excited for hearing what this coming Sunday is going to be like. And then the retreat too.
Yeah.
You're supposed to say amen, Damon. Come on.
Amen. I was waiting for, I was waiting. I thought Liz was going to respond to what you said, Kyle. But
I was going to say I'd like
you're supposed to say amen too, Liz. Come on.
Amen. I want to hear you and Mimo on a podcast talking about the healthy expression of will and emotion.
What healthy, that looks like. But not always enjoyable in the moment. But no, yeah, it's, okay, so going on evening walks after dinner frequently has helped a lot in that, where we understand each other a lot better.
Together, you guys.
Together.
Are, okay.
Together, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, separate, so we can get our space. No, that's been very helpful, where we get to see different sides in more depth. So that's a good key, but I think just a lot of it's just maturing and appreciating things that before seemed like they were, well, not seemed, they were more rubs, but right. then having to see like, okay, why is it a rub? Is it really that person? Or is it, oh, no, it's something I have to deal with. And then as you get more of those things dealt with, it's like, oh yeah, those things are actually have positive value, not just something I used to view as negative.
Yeah. I think that would, for me, I would like to hear, that's like an encouragement because it's still real. It's still challenging, but it's grown to this place, you know, and that it doesn't have to be a romantic relationship. It could be a parent child or a friend or anything where there's just two different ways of looking at things and seeing where those things can have recognizable value to the other person. Like, not because that's what you're trying to do, but you just appreciate it.
Yeah, I think I'm going to turn this into a relationship episode. I mean, you can't go deep without getting vulnerable. Yeah. You can't get vulnerable unless you get into the messy stuff. But, yeah. You know, not every relationship is going to get to that level, but yeah. You need to have some that go to that place.
And I think that's where the enemy tries to disrupt some of those connections, because as it's difficult for us to connect in those ways with other people, you know, they're tangible. People are tangible. So it makes it more difficult for us to recognize that we can have that type of relationship with the Lord too. And so it becomes more surfacey, or becomes more like, I'm just talking and it's not really a relationship, but I'm just, when I pray, I talk, and then that's it, right? But the Lord wants to have a deep relationship with us. And that's where a lot of the healing and those types of things come from, is in our connection and our relationship with the Lord. And that's why that picture is so great, where it's like, wherever we are, there's more capacity for our relationship and that to grow, right? And so even if you feel like your green line is super thin right now, the capacity for where that green line can grow to is infinite. And so are we going to allow the Lord to grow those places? And sometimes it's going to take being vulnerable with the Lord. Sometimes it's going to take going to him and saying, I don't have any of this type of connection with other people that are tangible, but I want that. And if you're offering that, then I want that. And so I think for us to recognize that the enemy wants to make it difficult for us to have that type of connection with the Lord. So he's going to use all of these different arrows, these different things, to make it seem like it is impossible to have that, and keep us in this radical individualization where it's all about me and what I want, when I want it, right now. And that's where he wants to keep us. But we were made to live in community, community with each other, community with the Lord. And so I really feel like those are steps that the Lord is prompting our church to make, where we're opening up these other opportunities and expanded opportunities for us to gather together, to have some of these conversations, to deepen our relationships with each other, to deepen our relationships with the Lord. And I feel like that's where we're going to be a part of the city on the hill, because people in the world need that too. So we can't offer something that we don't have. So the Lord's taken us there first, and then he's going to use us to help other people get there too.
I think it's really exciting that as we deal with our souls and our souls get more healed and they are in alignment with our spirit, man, it's going to impact relationships like off the charts. And people are going to be, what is, those people are different. Like there's something they have, like, what is it? And just, hey, our souls are healthier now, and we're connected with this, the Holy Spirit. And that's all that matters.
Yeah, I really think I've been hearing this echoed in a lot of different places, but just saying yes to the Lord without negotiating or overthinking what it means to say yes, is just, do you want to be healed, yes or no? Do you want deep spiritual connection with him and with people around you, yes or no? Because it's hard to see why anyone would say no, unless they're overthinking, like, well, how do I do that? It's going to be a lot, you know, they're like, so I think trying to just surrender that and be able to acknowledge the yes, and then kind of have to surrender.
It has to be an element of trust.
And that's where I feel like this journey for us this whole year has been really good, because the beginning of the year, when we were talking about awe of God, we were understanding in a deeper place who God is, and having him in the right perspective. And so now to move in this direction, it's really looking at what does that look like for us in relationship to who he is. And part of it is we need to know how big God is, because some of us feels like it's impossible to get anywhere. And so we need to know that God can do amazing things, even in us who don't feel like we can do it ourselves. All right. Well, thanks again, Liz, for coming on.
Happy to be here every week until I get a job.
I want to do a quick shout out. I just saw Brandon Hojo walk by. It's so neat that he walked by. I thought that was so neat.
You're not saying it loud enough, so he can't hear you.
Oh, he'll listen. He'll hear it at the end of the episode. That was for you, Brandon.
All right, shout out Brandon, and until next time, for all you listeners out there, we appreciate you, and we're looking forward to things that are coming up. We got a retreat coming up in less than 2 weeks, and we're excited for all the things that the Lord is going to do. So until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.